Right now, we're going to talk about the Buffalo Field campaign and give you a full update on the situation with the wild buffalo. And joining us to talk about that is Stephanie C., media coordinator for the Buffalo Field campaign. Hello, Stephanie.
Hey, George. How's it going?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Hanging in there, all things considered.
Yeah.
It's a very tough season.
I understand that they sent more buffalo to slaughter today in Yellowstone.
They did. There was 44 more buffalo sent to slaughter from within inside Yellowstone. A handful of those were bulls that they never tested for brucellosis, and bulls pose almost a zero risk of even transmitting brucellosis to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And they also captured, the Department of Livestock captured about 33 buffalo out on Horse Butte today, and Horse Butte is a 100% cattle-free zone with absolutely no reason for these agents to be out there harassing wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
So that's bringing our total slaughter number up to 1,453 animals this year alone.
And how many are there total in the park?
Now there are fewer than 3,000. In the fall, we started with approximately 4,700.
Mm-hmm. So what is considered, according to Yellowstone wildlife biologists, what is considered a good sustainable population?
There has never been a carrying capacity study done, but park biologists say that they could sustain upwards of 7,000 bison in Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm.
The Interagency Bison Management Plan, however, which governs this harassment, capture, and slaughter, caps the population at 3,000 animals. They think that that is a manageable number. It's a political number, and it has nothing to do with carrying capacity or any ecology or science or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's politically derived.
So what are some of the actions that Buffalo Field Campaign has taken in the past few months to oppose this slaughter of over, you're saying now, 1,700 wild buffalo have been killed so far?
1,400 wild buffalo, and there's going to be a significant, there already has been a significant winter kill as well. It's been an extremely tough winter for bison.
You mean the
ones we're seeing now are very skinny and eating starvation foods. The grass isn't growing yet, especially here on the western boundary where we still have about 3 feet of snow. But we've tried all the traditional routes, you know. We've tried emails, we've tried phone calls. We had a huge week of action where we had national call-in days to all the various decision makers involved with this plan. We got no response. We have attended public meetings. We have asked people to write letters to the editor, which people have done. We have gone all these traditional routes, and there have been this year a couple of bison advocates that have, you know, taken things into their own hands, put their lives and their freedom on the line, and have taken direct action. There was a gentleman in February who got himself situated inside the Horse Butte bison trap in a bipod. It was in the response to the week of action. He closed the trap for 15 hours, and from his platform was a banner that read, "I've called, I wrote, no response, this is my response." And he shut the trap down for 15 hours, but was later forcibly removed by Department of Livestock agents, Forest Service agents, and the county sheriff. And recently, just a couple weeks ago, there were two women who decided to take action into their own hands and locked down to a banister inside Yellowstone National Park's visitor center, and they were consequently arrested. And still, the slaughter continues.
These two West Yellowstone women, this was on March 26th, were they associated with the Buffalo Field campaign, or were they just living in West Yellowstone and were upset about what was happening to the wild buffalo and decided to do something on their own?
Their actions were their own. They are volunteers, but definitely their actions were their own.
So they locked themselves together around a post inside the Mammoth Visitor Center in Yellowstone
correct.
National Park? What happened? Are they being charged with anything? How long were they there?
They're being charged with disrupting a government function and disorderly conduct.
what do you think they achieved in this? Were they there for a number of hours? Were they able to get their message out to the media? What kinds of things do you think they accomplished with this action?
Well, it's helping to draw more and more attention to the issue. It got into quite a few papers, and CNN was also present at that time, which was pretty good timing. But, you know, it's still going on. It's like, what do we have to do? What do people have to do to get these government agencies to stop killing wild bison? We have called on them to do this for years, and they are ignoring us.
Another development that's taken place was the 69 residents of Horse Butte, Hebgen Lake, and West Yellowstone, Montana, sending a letter to the folks in charge of the bison management plan, requesting that wild bison be allowed to range on Horse Butte without being harassed, trapped, and slaughtered by government agents. And I know you were asking the public to sign on to that as well. And I did. I signed on to that. And
thank
I got a
you.
Response from Marty Zalewski. He is the, is he the Montana Department of Livestock veterinarian?
He's the state vet for the state of Montana.
Okay.
And yes, he's headquartered at the Department of Livestock.
His response to me, and I'm sure it was just a form email, I'm sure that it was just a standard email that was sent to everyone who signed on to this, was basically saying, no, they will not set Horse Butte aside, that the bison will not be, will still be subject to harassment, trapping, and being sent off to slaughterhouses on this area, because even though there's no cattle in that area, they may come in contact somehow near there with cattle. I didn't really understand that. But, and then he said that this was a really complex issue and it was hard to understand, and that he felt the bison management plan was very good and that it was doing exactly what was intended to do, and basically just totally defended the government stance and stated that Horse Butte will not be an area that where bison can roam freely and be protected.
And it's no surprise to get that kind of response from him. I mean, this plan, while it is a five-agency plan, all with extremely different mission statements and objectives, the plan was basically crafted by livestock interests. And, you know, Marty Zalewski's letter states that the plan is twofold, to maintain a viable wild bison population while managing, reducing the risk of brucellosis transmission. It fails in both areas. First of all, maintaining a viable wild free-ranging population, which is what the plan states, that means migration. And wild bison migrate. That's what they do. And the bison that migrate are the ones that are being killed. They're the ones crossing these arbitrary boundaries and being captured and shipped to slaughter. And as far as the risk of brucellosis transmission, there are hundreds of thousands of elk that are allowed to come and go in the state of Montana, or tens of thousands of elk, and they also carry brucellosis. They're out in cattle pastures currently. And again, wild bison, even before the plan was ever implemented, have never transmitted brucellosis back to the cattle that they got it from. And, you know, back in May, north and east of Yellowstone National Park and far from bison migration corridors, brucellosis transmission did occur. And the Department of Livestock still has not determined whether that was from cattle or they're trying to blame elk. So, I mean, brucellosis transmission did happen, and wild free-ranging bison populations are not being protected or maintained. So this plan is failing completely, and we are losing our national heritage at the bequest of the cattle industry in the state of Montana.
Maybe for those who haven't, I have covered this, and I've interviewed you and Michael Meese, also a Buffalo Field campaign in the past on the show, but there may be people tuning in who haven't heard about this issue before. So if we just a little background on this, if you can talk about the official government reason being presented for this mass slaughter. You said they've killed 1,400 wild buffalo now this season.
1,453.
Can you talk about the reasons they've presented again for this and why those are not valid in your view?
Their reason, quote-unquote, is a disease called brucellosis. It's a European livestock disease that was brought to this country with cattle, which are not a native species here. Cattle, through the hands of man, cattle infected our wildlife with this disease, brucellosis. it's not a very serious disease. It's in livestock, in cattle, it can cause a pregnant female to miscarry her first pregnancy, then she resumes a normal birthing cycle. Wild bison are very strong animals, and they're able to develop, they develop antibodies to the disease. So they are much less affected by this disease. And also, you can eat the meat of brucellosis-infected animals. It's you know, it's not like you're going to get sick if you eat an animal that has brucellosis. People do it all the time. It was with the advent of pasteurization that brucellosis, prevalence of brucellosis as a disease in humans called unyulant fever was reduced. People were getting brucellosis by ingesting dairy products from infected livestock. So, you know, the disease itself is being used as a huge scare tactic. It's being used as a control mechanism. We maintain that this issue is more about grass and who gets to eat it. The cattle industry has a stronghold on grasslands, many of them public lands, millions and millions of acres of public lands, and wild bison are being prevented from accessing those lands, their native habitat.
Because they compete with the cattle for the grazing land?
Correct.
And you think this is the real motivation?
Yes.
Does brucellosis kill the, if a cow was to get it, would it kill the cow? No.
It would not.
So what is, what is their
concern?
It would
cause her to miscarry, and then she would resume normal birthing cycle.
I see. So you're saying that even if this was a legitimate concern of brucellosis passing from wild buffalo to cattle, that in your view it, it doesn't rise to the level of being a justification for killing up to close to 1,500 wild bison this season?
Absolutely correct.
But has there been a case of it being shown to have passed from a
There has never been a documented case of wild bison transmitting brucellosis to livestock.
Now, does the Department of Livestock acknowledge that? Does the Interagency Bison Management Plan acknowledge that that's true? Is that in dispute?
They do. However, they always amend that by stating that in laboratory settings, it's been proven that it can happen. So they are basing all of this on a theoretical fear of the potential for transmission. This is all based on theory.
What kind of laboratory experiments?
There was a study, I can't remember exactly when it was done, but it was at Texas A&M University, where they had captive bison and livestock, and they literally force-fed infected birthing material to livestock and to say, oh, look, it can happen.
As if and a cow would in the wild eat that.
You know, I mean, what we've seen, when we've had the opportunity to see wild bison in a birthing stage, we have seen her, the mama buffalo, clean up her area completely. You know, she's a prey animal on top of everything else. So she's going to clean up the area to protect herself and her newborn calf.
Well, not only that, even if a cow came across that, it's not going to eat it. It's
no, probably not. There's also the fact that there are ravens and coyotes and numerous scavengers that are very opportunistic and would come and take care of anything that was left over.
Yeah.
You know, and brucellosis doesn't even last in the environment very long. You know, it's, you know, and why can't the cattle industry vaccinate their cows? Come up, use this money to, first of all, you can come up with a vaccine that works for cattle and use it on cattle. You can fence in your cattle to get them off of buffalo habitat. And you can also use the money being spent on this plan to acquire habitat for wild bison.
It seems like what you're saying, though, is they don't want to give up any of that habitat. So
that's exactly what this is. It's a land control. It's grass control.
So this year's death toll has surpassed that of 1996 and 97, when almost 1,200 bison were killed. And this year has... This year's wild bison slaughter has broken the 20th century record. In fact, it did on March 17th. Is there folks who work in Yellowstone National Park that are upset by this? I mean, I know I'm hearing that some of the residents are, and that, you know, Buffalo Field Campaign and other organizations, I've been getting emails from the National Resources Defense Council and others that are very concerned about this. But is there folks who are employed in Yellowstone National Park that are upset about it? They're taking any action or concerned about this, the magnitude of this?
There aren't any current employees of the park system that are taking any action, but there is definitely a growing discontent. However, there's not the courage from these individuals to stand up against what's going on. But there are, you know, former employees of the National Park Service who have been a bit more vocal. Bob Jackson is a former backcountry ranger who became famous for, I guess he was called Action Jackson when he was a ranger, and he used to bust poachers in the backcountry. But he has of late been very vocal against Yellowstone's part in the interagency bison management plan. So that's been refreshing, but there's not been enough outspoken opposition from mm-hmm. people within these agencies. But we are hearing, you know, here and there that the discontent is certainly growing.
Wasn't there a group of wild buffalo that were in Yellowstone Village that were being somewhat protected to some degree?
They're still there, uh-huh. and as long as they're in there, those residents are not going to let the Department of Livestock come anywhere near them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hopeful that they're going to hang out there for a while, and we'll see what happens with that. But for now, they're still there. It's a small little family group. We've kind of grown pretty attached to them, which is dangerous, but you can't help it. Buffalo are so amazing.
What are all the agencies that are behind this shipping these buffalo off to the slaughterhouse? Is it the National Park Service is the primary one, right?
Well, the two primary agencies are the National Park Service, Yellowstone National Park, and the Montana Department of Livestock. The other agencies that are involved are USDA APHIS, which is the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, and then there's the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, which is basically the Fish and Game Agency in Montana, and then there's also the National Forest Service, which manages the habitat of our national forest lands that surround Yellowstone.
So it seems a little odd to me that the National Park Service, and maybe it shouldn't, who I look at as being there to protect the national parks and the wildlife in there, within the parks, working with the Montana Department of Livestock on this plan that is basically cattle industry driven.
Correct.
Do they acknowledge in any way that there might be some conflict of interest there in the Montana Department of Livestock having any say about wild buffalo that live in Yellowstone National Park?
They used to be a lot more vocal about that. But it seems that since we've had GW in office, that sentiment has changed, and those in opposition have probably been silenced in some way or another. It's hard to say why they are so complacent with this plan, and it's really difficult to see the footage and see the actions of national park rangers and national park employees that wear buffalo on their badge, on their uniform, as they're hazing and capturing and prodding and loading wild bison onto livestock trailers that are sending them to slaughter. There's a serious conflict of interest here.
Now, there was recently a U.S. Government Accountability Office report that was made public on April 2nd that sharply criticized a slew of federal and state agencies behind this interagency bison management plan, which is the government
right.
document responsible for the slaughter of over 3,300 wild American buffalo in and around Yellowstone. Can you give me some more details on that? What were some of the criticisms?
The criticisms basically were that generally the plan needs fixing. The agencies are failing in completing the steps of the plan, which is supposed to allow for certain numbers of bison to be outside of the park for a certain amount of time, even though we, of course, don't feel that that's perfect. We oppose the plan completely. The plan is being strongly criticized. The GAO report mentioned how the agencies are not working together. They have no objectives. They have no goals. They have no timelines. They essentially don't know what they're doing. They're just carrying out these draconian practices, and they're spending a lot of money, $3 million a year, to do this, and they're not being accountable to the public. So there's a lot of criticisms, and we're very hopeful, since Congress was the one that requested this investigation, that Congress, now having this information, will start to take some action, and that we may see some positive legislation that will help the wild buffalo.
Mm-hmm. So is Buffalo Field Campaign working with other organizations on this issue right now?
We do work with other organizations. Sometimes we're kind of out there on our own, but we try to bring in as many people as possible that want to help. There are a lot of local groups that we work with, and recently there's been a couple national groups that have started to get on the bandwagon and have started getting vocal finally about what's going on, and we appreciate their help. We wish they would have been here, you know, 11 years ago. But
yeah, it seemed it did take a while, even this year, for them to come around to informing folks in their group and just the public about it.
Yeah, it's a shame it's taken such an enormous slaughter to get their attention, to get their involvement, but we're grateful for the work that people are really starting to do. And the voices are increasing, the diversity of voices against this management plan and for wild bison in Montana is increasing, and so that's positive. In the face of all the slaughter, it's hard to see the bright light, but change is kind of, it's slowly, it's coming. It's coming, we have to believe that, and it's happening. And we're also working with the Seventh Generation Fund, an indigenous group that Rosalie Little Thunder, one of our co-founders, works very closely with. And on April 15th, Chief Arvel Looking Horse is going to be coming to Gardner, Montana, and we're going to hold a releasing of the buffalo spirit ceremony inside Yellowstone, near the bison trap there, and that should be a very powerful event. Chief Arvel Looking Horse is a 19th generation carrier of the white calf, white buffalo calf pipe. So we're very much looking forward to this ceremony. In Lakota tradition, it is said that when the buffalo die, if people don't sing for them, then they can't come back. So we're going to sing for them, and we're going to sing for the people that are trying to help them, because it's been a really difficult season for all of us. It's taking a toll.
Yeah.
But like the buffalo, we're going to persist and resist and endure, and we're not going away until the buffalo are set free.
And this releasing of the Buffalo Spirit Ceremony will take place on April 15th at noon?
April 15th at noon. Mm-hmm. At noon, any time. Your time, my time, European time, whatever time. Join us in spirit. Just be there with us.
And folks can check out all the info about that and plenty of other information about the wild buffalo and all your recent press releases and updates from the field at buffalofieldcampaign.org. I'm speaking with Stephanie C. She's media coordinator for the Buffalo Field Campaign. And we just have a few minutes left. I wanted to wrap up with asking you if you could just end by talking about why you feel folks that are listening to this broadcast and the country and in the world should care about these wild buffalo in Yellowstone and the almost 1,500 now that have been taken off to slaughter. If you could talk about, just kind of give people an idea of what's happening to these wild buffalo and why we should care.
Well, these buffalo are they're the last continuously wild bison in the United States. This is it. This is all we've got left from, you know, there are no other wild buffalo in the United States. And they're an American icon, you know, as far as that goes. They're also an integral part of our ecology, our grasslands ecology. They help the grasses grow. They fertilize the grasses. They help the water tables. They're amazing creatures. They can provide food, shelter, and clothing if we would give them a chance to live and multiply and be free again. They're our brothers and sisters. Wild bison are, it's like seeing a unicorn every time I see one, and I see them pretty much every day, and they never fail to amaze me. But, you know, they're important the world over. They're a prehistoric animal that has survived for over 10,000 years, and they're still here walking amongst us. They used to walk with woolly mammoths, and now they're still here with us, and that's pretty special. And we have room for them. All we have to do is learn how to coexist. We just have to find it within ourselves that, yes, this is what we want. We want to share the land with all the other creatures that live here. And wild bison are so much like us. their family composition, their social structures. There's so much about them that are like us. Everything that is good about them is something that we all strive to be. For us here at Buffalo Field Campaign, they have taught us how to become a true family, a true community again, and take care of each other and be strong for each other. And it's an amazing journey to walk with wild buffalo. And they have a right to live as individual free creatures. They have a right to exist. We urge anyone and everyone that cares about wild bison to help the buffalo, to help BFC protect these animals.
And one thing people can do if they have the time and the ability is to actually go there and work directly with you and the buffalo.
Absolutely. We provide room and board to anyone that's willing to stand in defense of the wild bison. We are in one of the most beautiful places in the world. We have a large cabin backed up on national forest land just a few miles from Yellowstone National Park. We're out in the field every day from sunrise to sunset. All you have to do is get here. We'll provide the rest.
The way to find out more about your group?
You can visit us on the web at buffalofieldcampaign.org or call us at 406-646-0070 or drop us an email at buffalo@wildrockies.org.
Great. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for being with me today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, George.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, that was Stephanie C., media coordinator for the Buffalo Field Campaign. Their website, buffalofieldcampaign.org. You can get their email address and phone number at that website, buffalofieldcampaign.org. This show has been Peace Talks. See you next Tuesday.